All right, this is Aaron Kraft with Arizona State University, and I am here with...
I'm Eddie Case. Today is the 7th of March, and I'm giving permission for you to record my story.
Excellent. Thank you so much. All right, so thinking back to March 2020, when did you first think of COVID-19 as a threat or something you needed to take seriously?
For me, my father and I, while he was in town from the Bay Area, we were over, getting ready to go out to Camelback Ranch to see the A's and the Yankees, and then we received the texts and emails that said spring training's canceled, and we didn't know what to do. We knew that the scenario was getting worse, but we really had no idea. Found out later that that's the same day that the World Health Organization said we have a pandemic.
Okay. That's disappointing. You didn't get to go to your game.
Yeah.
Did your daily life change once the lockdown started happening?
In fact, my wife and I both become sick right around mid-March, and so March 27th, I was officially hospitalized. Mm. I was one of the first 200 in the state to get the novel coronavirus, and one of the first 16 at that time to be in the ICU.
Oh, wow. Okay. How long were you in the ICU?
Yeah.
If you don't mind sharing.
Not at all. ICU, I was in a medically induced coma for 20 days, and then was able to get out of Dignity Chandler. That would have been a few days before May 1st. So they've got me to a rehabilitation center where I really, really worked hard so I can get home, be with my wife and our cats.
Wow.
So, yeah, a total of 35 days in a hospital. At that time, no visitors. I never even saw the names of my or saw the faces of my doctors and nurses or any of those, only their eyes and these incredible gowns that they'd have to wear to protect themselves.
Wow, okay. So how was your summer spent then after that experience?
Didn't go back to work for 9 months. Was immediately entered myself into cognitive therapy and then more of a physical therapy, just doing the two together to try and beat PTSD before it kicks in, which usually takes 6 months.
Okay.
So that's what it was. Ordered rest and relaxation, and then periodically visited every single doctor I could.
Oh, wow.
So that, because my deductible was paid for the first night in the hospital.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So I was at liberty to see everyone from dermatologist, pulmonologist, cardiologist, everybody.
Okay.
To make sure that we're on the right track.
All right, and I assume everything's...
Everything was, to this day, that I know of, that we know of, is perfect. I didn't get any scarring. I was intubated 5 times.
Oh, my gosh.
And most people, when they get that sort of intubation, they get damage to their larynx, throat, vocal cords, and I lucked out. No damage to the organs, not even any real psychological damage from the event itself.
Okay. You mentioned PTSD. Mm-hmm. Did you have some from recovery time, that sort of thing?
Yeah, it ended up kicking in just about after, almost around the time where I was going back into work.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they have to say that the PTSD... I really haven't dreamed much. I haven't dreamed in COVID very often where masks or anything were involved. More so the trauma and the anxiety and the depression kicked in after,
right,
when dealing with the attitudes of people who were not inclined to believe that this was affecting real people.
Yeah.
That was where a lot of my pain and ability to close it off, that was really hard.
Did you, in your circle of acquaintances, did you run into that? Or was everyone around you had seen you suffer, so they weren't the type that were doing that?
No, the outpour was really, really good. And just about everybody that knew me personally was pulling for me. And since this was so new, and people knew me, they knew that this was an unusual event in itself. Later on, once the vaccine became available, and I actually would start to promote some friends or family members into thinking about that, I faced a lot of backlash there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you get to do anything? I mean, it's terrible to say silver lining, but in that time at home, as you're recovering, did anything positive come out of this?
Everything positive came out of this.
Okay.
This was one of the, it's kind of a dark way of looking at it, but one of the greatest things that ever happened to me.
Okay.
Up leading to that point, I was working a graveyard shift. I was putting in 60 hours a week. I was not taking care of myself. My wife was working really hard. A lot of just depression, and kind of at a point where I felt like the job itself I was involved in was a dead-end thing. I felt my spirit was kind of limited to what I can do next. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly out of nowhere, this illness takes over and almost didn't survive it, then survived it. And now I miss no opportunity to get ahead, to just tell people I love them. That's a big deal. And so just so many good things came out of this. Now my overall attitude towards myself, I've never felt better. I'm in better health now than I ever was, mentally, physically. And my wife, too. We're happier than we were at any point in our marriage. This was a blessing. And wow. a terrible way to get a blessing, but this was incredible for the timing of it all and everything.
Wow, what an amazing attitude, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Did you learn something about yourself during this time?
A lot. So now I really see us as fragile beings. Mm-hmm. I really, when I woke up, I didn't know what had happened. I had a lot of hallucinations, ICU syndrome, that were as real as our conversation here. And so I had thought that I'd gotten in some kind of a car accident or a mishap and didn't know why I was there. I woke up with all the tubes and wires in me, and I was strapped into bed because I guess I was in a lot of fight or flight during that time. And so once they got the ventilator out, then I could talk to my wife on the phone, who I hadn't seen. It only felt like 3 or 4 days,
right,
by the way. And then I remember starting to tear up and say, I'm so sorry that I damaged our car. And she said, wait, you don't know why you're in the hospital? You've got COVID. And I remember just this rush, this relief. And I thought, whoa, you know, I can't win the lottery, but I sure did here. This is really weird. So, okay, so all those dreams, I'm going to have to unwind those and figure those things out. But I'm here because of a virus. And that was a relief. Then came the next step of, when do I get to go home?
Right.
And that's when the doctors, a lot of their answers to my questions, even to today, are, we don't know. Mm-hmm. But they said, if you can walk out of here and you can get yourself to a glass of water and to the bathroom on your own, you can go home.
Okay.
So that took a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Because I lost 55 pounds, mostly a muscle from atrophy from a coma. So I had to rebuild the strength. So I was kind of like an infant for the first 3 or 4 days. I couldn't do anything on my own.
Yeah.
And I had to learn to talk again, too.
Wow, really?
Yeah. When you're put down with all those different types of medications and then I guess they come in and move you around. I have no memory of that. But what I do know is that, you know, your body decides to pick and choose what it wants to save. So sometimes it says, okay, leg muscles, arm muscles, we don't need those right now.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'll take the nutrients from those and put them in your heart and your brain. Let's go.
Oh, wow.
And that's sort of how it works. I'm sure it's more complex than that, but
it actually might be just as simple as that, too, right?
It's, yeah. So I woke up just like with these string bean legs, and I mean, I thought I was 10 years old again or something. What in the heck? But yeah, so a lot of work there.
Yeah.
But wonderful people that I've never been able to thank.
Yeah.
I don't know their names, really, and I don't know what became of any of them, but it's that staff over at Dignity in Chandler that were just beautiful people that did the best they could with me, and it worked.
Yeah.
It paid off.
All right, one last question. In 100 years, what would you like historians or people in general to know about these past 2 years, or your experience personally?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be so hard to tell, let alone 50 years from now. I thought, when I got out of the hospital and felt like kind of like a star, like one of the first ones to get it, I thought to myself, all those documentaries, all those education moments in school where they talked about the big flu or the bubonic plague, I thought that would have everybody convinced. We all took similar classes.
Yeah.
We all watched similar documentaries. And you would think that back in the early 1900s and all those lessons we experienced since, that this is something we were ready for, mm-hmm. and we weren't. So what I'm hoping for is that as new viruses or things come around, that this situation, the amount of people we've lost, that's just quadruple that by the amount that have to stay, that survived or lost somebody, and that it can at least be understood to a degree that let's just take warning and let's be careful. Let's do our very best to see if we can not make this political, but something where you can look to your neighbor, make sure you're checking on each other, and just being patient. That's something. I'm just hoping that this sort of thing doesn't have to happen again to the degree it did. We're always going to have objectors in everything we do, but hopefully not as bad. Hopefully they'll read about this and think that, wow, this is pretty serious, and we don't have to go through it like they did.
Right. Anything else you want to share with us?
No, I appreciate you chronicling this, and I I'm one of the lucky ones, and there's so many people you're probably going to meet today that didn't get lucky, but I'm glad to be here and just glad to be able to share this with you. I appreciate you.
All right, well, thank you so much. That was great. All right. What a wonderful story.
Yeah.
It's painful and wonderful all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the thing, I haven't met very many people that went through it to this degree. But we will today, of course.
Yeah.
But you know it every day. There's 2,000 people dying in this country every day from this thing.
It's still, right? Like, that's what people forget. It's still today.
It's a 9/11 every day. So I think about that and know that there's a lot of people that feel a hell of a lot worse than I do today.
Well, that's a great miracle story.
Thank you
so much, and feel free, go on at some point and show anything, if you have photos or personal recollections.
Is there a way to do I just go through that?
You can, or it's COVID-19 archive.
Okay, COVID-19 archive.
Yes.
That wrench you were using one of your things sort of, we're working to get it back up and running.
Is that where Robert came from?
Oh, okay. It's the small one, I think.
Okay. Where is it? And way back. Okay. Is there a back there?
Doing it now.
Excellent.
It looks like it's more or less kind of a share your story.
Yep.
So I got my name there so that you'll be able to connect to it.
Excellent.
I got two files here. They're my post-COVID, so they were me roughly 2 days after they pulled the ventilator out. They gave me my first bath in a month, which was one of those dry shampoo things.
Yeah.
So I just basically put in the story here, said made audio recording of my story, please apply photos.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you got it.
You know, and if your wife feels comfortable sharing too, she could submit a story about how what her experience was like from the other end of that, you know.
You got it. You got it. She wanted to be here. She's working on Sunny Soul, so
yeah.
I'm here for both of us. But that would be pretty cool.
It would
I'd
be
like
cool.
For her to do that.
We're trying to collect as many. We have almost 20,000 items, so we're focusing on longitudinal collecting. You know, like people whose stories we had before and now we're coming back.
I'm so glad you're doing this.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that really can't. I mean, people will move on. You know,
yes.
our American news cycle is like 2 weeks.
Yep.
So that's why people are really nonchalant now.
Yeah.
Arizona doesn't, submit numbers every day now. They only do it, I think, Fridays.
Oh, okay.
So they're trying to blow it that direction and say, you know, move on with your life. But it's like
it's still here.
Like it's here, and people still need to be
cautious and
cautious. Yeah.
Caring. Yep.
I think so. It's no fun to get, I tell you.
Yeah.
All right. So I have to locate my story on the map too.
You don't have to. You can
skip
that.
Okay.
We'll put it in there for you because we know you're here in Arizona.
Awesome. Okay.
Is that pretty easy and did it work?
Yeah, it looks like it's working now. So.
Excellent.
Not even gonna be. Okay. Email me my submission. Sure. Terms of service. I believe you.
We're very ethical. I promise.
Oh, this is fantastic. Here we go. Yeah. So one thing I didn't mention there is my friend that's about to be a doctor over at U of A, she actually interviewed me, sort of like you did,
okay.
but more on the medical perspective, submitted that to the school paper, and then I got a call to be interviewed by Anderson Cooper.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can look that up for fun.
Yeah, no, that'd be great.
Eddie Case, Anderson Cooper, and my wife and I both did that interview, and then I did about 5 other interviews, and then even worked with Mayor Woods to do a vaccine
awareness.
Outreach.
Yeah.
Awareness program. That for a little while.
Well, I'll go find that interview and I'll add it to the archive.
Please do.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Be so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll find a ton of stuff.
Okay.
Excuse me. From that alone. So
excellent.
That'll build the story.
Wonderful.
Okay,
Thank
I did
you.
It. And your name again?
I'm Erin.
Erin?
Yes.
Nice to meet you, Erin. Thank you.
Yeah.